Welcome in, latest episode of that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Brennan. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. Kentucky just won. Way to milk that damn game, Illinois, and Alabama's still going. But we're going live. We didn't want to delay any longer. And literally, I didn't want to because I told Cousin Shane, we'd be ready 7:30 your time. He said, oh, I'll be ready. It is now 7:48 his time. Nowhere to be found. But he is apparently coming pretty soon. And I appreciate all the cousins that are here before him. Cousin Tony, bourbon bets for basketball. Vols and Kentucky will be facing off in the Sweet 16 next week. Can't wait for that. Shout out to Cousin Caleb. He said, Mike, where do I go to kill myself as a Mizzou fan? Oh, buddy, what happened to Mizzou? I think I had them going to the Elite Eight. They lost the first damn game to Drake. We'll cover all that. Appreciate you, Tim. Hotty toddy. Ole Miss still to play, so we don't know who's going to win that game. Just yet, it'll be Ole Miss. They're about to kick off against Iowa State, so we'll be getting on with that. Cousin Kyle, appreciate you, buddy. And Cousin Steven, appreciate you with Alabama. Cousin Mike. And finally, the man we've all been waiting for. He may be 20 minutes late, but that's better than never. Cousin Shane, how's it going, buddy?
Oh, man. Sorry, I'm acting like this is the first beer I've had today. March Madness, brother. I tell you what, brother. It is just, the thing is, I watched that Florida game,
yeah,
and I was like, this is it. This is what we've all been paying for. And then it was followed up by like two duds. And I was like, all right. SEC's marching on. That's all that matters.
Yeah, right now, how about SEC's got, we'll cover all this, but 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 teams in the Sweet 16. Alabama's winning right now. Could be a sixth. And Ole Miss could be a seventh. So we got a lot to hit on, buddy.
Yeah.
But I was waiting for you to remind the cousins we're brought to you by MyBookie, the online sportsbook. Head on over to mybookie.ag. That's the website. Put in that promo code at the when you deposit, first time depositor, Shane. If you put in the promo code that SEC, THATSEC over at MyBookie, they're willing to give you a 50% initial deposit bonus. So say you put in $100, MyBookie's going to give you 50 right off the bat. You can even put, I think, as little as $20 in there. They'll give you 10 just to like bet on them Vols. You know what I'm saying? Against Kentucky in the Sweet 16. And Shane, we're already seeing people ask, does the bourbon bet? Well, I mean, Tennessee's been dominant. You've been all over it. Hey, where's all my Kentucky football bettors? Are you willing to bet? We got a week to talk about it, but are you willing to bet Tennessee, Kentucky basketball?
It's third time the charm, Mike. You know, it's pretty tough when you've lost two in a row. So,
About it, huh?
Yeah, give me some thought here. I gotta sit and ponder this one because
if it's football, he's ready to take in bets. In basketball, not so much, but I don't blame him.
Mike, we're like, I don't want to be, and I'm not saying I'm the reason that Tennessee blows this thing, mm-hmm. but I don't want to be involved in that situation. We're like within 16. We're marching to four. We're trying to get to that final four, you know, so the jokes will stop and then potentially win national championship. But you got to get past Kentucky, which you've not done in the last two meetings. So, and it's in their backyard, for Christ's sake. You know, it's going to be up there in Indiana. So they're going to have them right across the river there. So,
Yeah, a lot of excuses. All right. But you know who never has an excuse, Shane?
Who's that?
JR, come on, JR, we missed you, man. We haven't had a show in a couple days. But JR's responded with 5 memberships, ooh, Shane. Chicken. Wow. 1515, Scott Fisher, Gator Man 23. He's high on hog right now. Demas and Adam Bray. Welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of the legend, JR. What a guy. What a guy, Shane. And then we also had Caleb here. Was he the one also? Yeah, he's on suicide watch here, Shane. His Mizzou Tigers eliminated round one. He wants to know, can he borrow some of your bourbon as a Mizzou fan?
Well, it's funny. You can kind of always tell the fan base, you know, when they've just like immediately move to football. You know, let's talk about Drew Pine. Is he the starting quarterback?
Yeah. I mean, but, hey, so we're going to do basketball, and then it's not going to be full basketball, though, because I got something interesting to throw your way, Shane.
Yeah.
Have you heard? We'll talk all about this in the second half, but the SEC, not necessarily the SEC, but college football and the collectives and these conferences, they are considering, if you want to hit the transfer portal, you got to give us back your NIL money. So, buddy, I mean, maybe that'll stop all these transfers. I don't know. We'll talk about all that, but let's start with basketball, because that's what everybody's. It's the time of year. This is the one week we get to talk basketball, Shane. And first four started rough for the SEC, Shane. Texas got eliminated, lost to Xavier 86 to 80. But Texas got the last laugh, Shane. Did you see who they hired as their basketball coach?
Xavier's coach?
Xavier coach. You beat us. We're going to steal your damn coach. That's at Texas, buddy. So, yeah, Texas fired Rodney Terry. It's probably going to be a Tennessee assistant coach here in about a week. But, would you rather win the game, Shane, and just, be in the 64? Or would you rather get the coach a new direction to the program? I mean, I hate to say it, but I think Texas won in this exchange.
Yeah. I mean, this is seems like the recipe, They did this for baseball. Now they're doing it for basketball. It's like, be careful if Sark loses. Whoever's across the sideline there, they may take him home. So, they just needed a clean break. They needed a fresh start. And I think the Longhorn fans are excited about this next chapter because they got talent. They were able to get one of the, elite players in the country, and it's something that they're going to continue to do, but now you got a new look. Who knows? Basketball's so fun because it takes one off season and then all of a sudden you're competing for a Sweet 16.
Right. Hey, shout out to Cousin Emily. Look at this comment, Shane. When are we going to go ahead and promote JR from cousin to uncle?
Yeah.
Uncle JR.
Hey, that may be right, man. I like that.
All right. Hey, so let's get into the first round games real quick. That's the thing Shane was talking about, and I agree 100%. I threw this out there maybe on Friday. I was like, man, this has kind of been a boring tournament.
Yeah.
Not a ton of upsets, not a lot of buzzer beaters, but in reality, Shane, I think, and I'm a casual, we are both basketball casuals. I think if you're a casual, you're like, man, this tournament, not as exciting as the ones I'm used to.
Yeah.
But I also would say if you're, if you're more diehard basketball or you really love like great Sweet 16s, great Final Fours, I think this has been the perfect tournament because it's all fun and games, Shane, when George Mason or Valparaiso or insert some stupid school makes this fantastic run, right? Then we all get excited. Then they got to play like the number one seed in the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight, and they just get hammered.
Yeah.
And we just sit here and say, well, the number one got a cakewalk because of this garbage team got lucky and got in there. Now we got all the best teams advancing, including maybe seven SEC schools out of the Final 16. And now we're going to have some elite matchups for the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight. So in a way, I think you could say the tournament overall, maybe not as exciting, but a better product. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, I get that. Emotions sometimes play effect in these tournaments, and you remember I can't remember the kid's name, but he was shooting damn every three-pointer last year. We all got excited about him, and he got all this NIL money and whatever, which was a cool, fun story. But like you said, we saw how it played out. And now I still do have – I have no idea which SEC team is going to win the national championship. I just know that it's going to be one of them. I'm frustrated with teams like Mizzou and A&M, and I'm like, what the heck? You should be here too. I think that was maybe the biggest storyline for the SEC schools. It's just they kind of squandered some opportunities, it felt like, in this tournament.
Yeah, so let's get into it. Round one, I get some snoozers here. That's kind of why I led with that. Florida beat Norfolk State 95-69. That was maybe the most dominating performance in the entire tournament. Florida just taking care of business. They were, I think they were up by like 30 after like 5 minutes. It was insane. Auburn, a little bit of a scare against Alabama State, but they beat them 83-63. They dominated the second half. Alabama Robert Morris was another buddy. I was telling Shane, I was like, we're going live if Alabama loses. Alabama pulled it out, though, 90-81. Tennessee took care of business against Wofford, 77-62. I thought Arkansas, 79, Kansas, 72. I thought that was the best damn game.
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know about the whole tournament, but round one, Arkansas, I don't want to give a special shout out, Shane. That's why I'm drinking out of the cup. I'm drinking the Kool-Aid, Calipari and the Razorbacks. I picked them to lose in the round one, Shane. They're on to the damn Sweet 16. They may win the whole damn thing. So shout out Arkansas. I'm kind of happy. Still not a big Calipari fan, but I love those fans. So I'm glad, and they love basketball. So I'm happy for them to make this deep run. Kentucky beat Troy, 76-57. Ole Miss beat North Carolina, 71-6. Shane, they were up by 20. I had the perfect tweet ready. I was like, oh, we're going to bust this team by 20-plus points. It'll be great. And then North Carolina came back, nearly won the damn thing. Texas A&M beat Yale, 80-71. So those were your winners. Now for the losers. So many losers. Come on. What are we doing here? Mizzou. We lost to Drake, the rapper, 67-57.
They almost came back, but shouldn't have been down, you know?
Yeah. That's terrible.
What sucks is like when you lose and then you watch Drake the next game and you're just like, oh my God. Why couldn't we get him this game? So,
right. And then Oklahoma, they gave a good shot against UConn, but they lost. More on the UConn coach here in a minute. Mississippi State lost to Baylor, 72-75. Vanderbilt, what? Vanderbilt, you had this one. You let it slip through your fingers against St. Mary's, 59-56. And the most embarrassing performance of the weekend out of the SEC, Shane. Gonzaga beat Georgia, 89-68. But it may have not been the most embarrassing moment for Georgia of the weekend because they're getting arrested down there. I mean, what? I know we're talking basketball here, but we can't even go a round of the NCAA tournament with some good news for down there in Athens. We got to hear about players getting arrested, doing crazy stuff in cars again.
First off, Mike, it's Gonzaga. Get it right. I had to hear that all weekend. So it's writing itself, Mike. The headlines are writing themselves. And I don't know, man. Kirby, I'm surprised Kirby has so much hair, brother. I would have pulled it out by now. You know what I'm saying? I think one of the funniest – no, I shouldn't say that because kids get hurt, but
– I think – well, yeah. It's not – it's. I mean, it's not funny, but it's comical when – again, you shouldn't hold anything against someone because of their name, but maybe down there – maybe we don't sign any nitros, we don't sign any turbos, we don't sign any speed. If that's in your name, you cannot play football for University of Georgia, I'm afraid. You know what?
Oh, my gosh. I saw that. I was like, yep, I saw that one coming.
All right. Now, on to the second round, Shay. This is when it really started to heat up in the NCAA tournament. The best game so far, I thought, of round two, Florida, UConn, 77-75. What a game. The Gators. The moment was almost too big. I don't know if the moment was too big, but UConn really took control of this game early. The Gators came storming back. Their defense was on lockdown, and they were making some big-time shots. This is the Florida we thought we were getting. And then shout out their coach, Shane, after the game. Got any little ones listening? Cover their ears.
Hope they don't fuck you like they fucked up. I hope they don't do that to you, man. I hope they don't do that to you, man.
Oh, you God, coach. Man, he was dropping F-bombs. Refs, Dan Hurley, the refs cost us some game here. Well, Butthurt Dan is what they should call because, I didn't think the officiating was even that bad in that game.
Well, there was a lot of penalties. I'll say that, but it was one of my favorite games of the tournament so far. That last 3 minutes was, I mean, when they took the lead with the three and then the breakaway, it was like the stadium was about to collapse, you know? So, I love Butthurt Day. I mean, this is the one that should always be mic'd up, you know. And there's like two people. They're like, well, when you win two titles, you afford to do this. And then you got the other one saying, I hate this guy. Absolutely. You know, it's like, but my favorite comment was, this is me. This is exactly me after every sporting event my team loses.
Oh, yeah. No, we're all there. This is all of us, but yes. I don't know what he's making, but when you're leading the organization, maybe not the best look, but it was funny nonetheless. You know what?
Oh, I loved it. I loved it. Enjoy the offseason.
And just the fact that an SEC team eliminated him, even better. You know what?
Even better. Even better. I love a little controversy, you know, here in the tournament. So
yeah.
I do think the whistles are a little, I don't know about you, man. I'm not trying to get on officiating. I hope it doesn't become a thing because it already kind of has. But, you know, SEC has been such a physical league. You're starting to see some of that, you know, carrying over, but the whistles are coming a little too often, in my opinion. So, but yeah. Anyway, let them play. Let them play, man.
Maybe we need the tournament should be reffed only by SEC refs.
Yeah. Yeah, come on. Not the Kentucky ones, but.
All right, and then Auburn. They beat Creighton 82-70.
Yeah.
That was, you know, Creighton was a hot team. They upset Louisville in the first round. That was a popular, like, oh, maybe this could be an upset. Auburn dominated the second half there. Tennessee beats UCLA 67-58. Yep. That was another one where it was back and forth. Tennessee went on a little bit of a run right before the half and more or less completely dominated the second half. So this was another kind of popular upset pick. People love to see Rick Barnes in Tennessee. If you're not a Tennessee fan, they love to see them lose, and they love, you know, this team chokes every year, even though they made the Sweet 16 three times. I don't know that Tennessee has literally ever done that. So shout out the Vols.
And Chaz, shout out to Chaz breaking the 3-point season record for the Tennessee Vols while Lofton was in the house. I thought that was pretty special too.
Look at Shane bringing some basketball knowledge. How about it? Then Arkansas, Shane, what a game. They beat St. John's 75-66. Yeah. Rick Pitino versus John Calipari. I don't know if you caught this leading up to the tournament, Shane, but Rick Pitino, the line they kept saying is over and over and over, he'd say, I need to get old Calipari off my record. In meaning, he the next one of them that leads their team to the Final Four, will, I think they'll have the most ever teams, collection of different teams they've taken to the Final Four. So Pitino thought he had Calipari. Maybe it's Calipari will get to, maybe he'll get him off the record by letting Calipari zoom past him. Who knows? But all of a sudden, Arkansas is one of the hottest damn teams in this tournament. We just got off Kentucky beating Illinois 82-72.
Yeah.
And the only team to lose in this round, it was a heartbreaker, Shane. Michigan beats A&M 91-79. And A&M had, you know, they were up early in this game. I don't want to say they blew it, but I think they're shaking their heads today about how they could have won that one.
If I have to hear 2 7-footers one more time, you know, it's like, somebody please knock Michigan out, you know, so we don't have to hear it no more.
And then as we're still recording, Alabama is playing live, but they're beating St. Mary's 72-63 with 3:51 remaining. So looks like Alabama, good odds that they will advance. And then we got Ole Miss coming up here as well. So, man, we possibly, Shane, are going to have some, we're going to have some epic Sweet 16 games, including Auburn, number 1 seed against number 5, Michigan, who we just saw play to A&M, Arkansas versus Texas Tech, Tennessee versus Kentucky the third time this year. Shane, Kentucky's won the previous two. Alabama, if they hold on and win, will play BYU. And then Florida will play the winner of Colorado State, Maryland. And then Ole Miss, if they win, will play the winner of Michigan State, New Mexico. So, buddy, I think all in all, yes, there's been some disappointments. But if the SEC gets 7 teams in a Sweet 16, I don't know how you could deny that this SEC is elite at basketball.
Well, I mean, we say it in every sport, and we said it last year in football. We're like, we just keep beating each other up, blah, 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 and then we get smoked in the playoffs. But we got to have it carry over in the basketball. We can't say this is the most dominant league that has ever happened and not have at least a strong performance in the tournament. So I'm glad that that's happening. And with seven teams, even though unfortunately we got to play each other at some point, I think the SEC, I mean, there's a shot, I believe, Mike, that the Final Four could be SEC teams, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, it could be four SEC teams.
Come on, man. Talk about an awesome tournament, baby.
But you're right. That's the problem, Shay. They're getting so advanced in this tournament
that
they're going to start knocking each other off here.
Right, yeah.
So let's look at updated bracket here. Here we go. As we have it now, again, I mean, we are talking Auburn, Michigan. I mean, that's going to be an SEC win. Come on. Yeah. Come on. But down below, I mean, Alabama, BYU.
Mm-hmm.
Come on. Come on. We can't be losing to BYU. Not in sports. And then, I mean, down here, you got Florida versus Colorado State, Maryland. That's an easy one. And then at the bottom, man. We're guaranteed to have one SEC team in Tennessee, Kentucky, and then Texas Tech, very good team, but Arkansas is red hot. I mean, hell, we could have like six of the final eight, too. You know what I mean?
Oh, come on, man. You want to boost the ratings, that's how you do it, man. Let the South have a few more teams.
Boost the ratings. Yeah, that's pretty good. But, hey, speaking of little competition, Shane.
I think CBS is jealous seeing all these SEC teams. Like, we should have paid more.
Yeah, well, when I saw that CBS logo, I was just thinking, man, please don't put Gary on any of these SEC games. You know,
I ain't gonna lie. I was watching one game, and I was like, because the guy kind of sounded like Gary there for a second. I was like, is Gary on the side? Is he? I don't know.
But, no, I know. But okay. I was fingers crossed that he didn't just pop in. You know what I mean?
There he is.
Hey, I wanted to give a shout out, though, Shay, on our bracket challenge.
Oh,
that we did before the tournament.
We got a couple ringers in there, brother.
We do. Cousin Trey, big time Arkansas fan, always gives us outstanding questions in the mailbag.
Yeah.
He is tied for number one, Shane, with cousin Wade McFadden, Florida. Wade picked Florida. Trey picked Arkansas to win it all. So cousin Trey, cousin Wade, congrats. Right now you're number one. And cousin Ken is in number two, right behind them, Shane. So we had 57 people join the bracket pick 'em here, Shane. And I just want to say thanks to all the cousins that did that. And any of the 57, all 57, they're all welcome to do this, Shane. Reach out to me at thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. If you've never got a koozie, you always wanted a koozie, reach out to me. And I'm happy to send you one free of charge just for entering the bracket challenge here. So if there's 57 of you, it may take a while to get them all out, but we got koozies for all of you. And then I just want to give a shout out. Shane was number three for a while. He's number 16. So he knows what he's talking about when it comes to the bracket challenge. And I'm 46th, Shane, out of 57. That's awful.
Yeah, I kept checking in, you know. You had Emily on here earlier. She passed me, and I was like, look, and I was like, man, how are these guys getting all these right? Because I felt like I had a pretty good bracket here, but I still think a lot could change here in the last part of this thing. So, I mean, you got one. Trey's got Arkansas, for crying out loud. I mean, if Arkansas pulls this, those two are 15,000. I know that sounds like a big number, but that is a very, very small number with the millions and millions of people that are on here. So, I mean, we may have, like I said, we may have a ringer in our group here. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, but I did want to give a shout out to three. What is the opposite of a ringer, Shane? Timothy Bates, Jonathan Allen, and Will Cola. They all picked Georgia to win the national championship.
Yeah.
They lost by 30 points in round one. But, you know, they're probably just passionate dogs who believe in their team. So we shouldn't troll them too hard. But I was just going through it, and I was like, good Lord, Georgia to win the whole thing. Come on.
Rusty Manziel's burner right there.
So, again, hey, we Sweet 16 games we have finalized, Shane.
Mm-hmm.
Auburn favored by 7.5 against Michigan. So Auburn you know, very likely could advance. Arkansas, Texas Tech, we already talked about that. Texas Tech, Shane, favored by 5.5. Arkansas, that may be one of the best bets on the board. I'm trying to see if there's a Tennessee line yet. I'm not. Oh, yep. Tennessee, Kentucky, Shane. Remember, keep in mind, Kentucky's won both games.
Yeah.
And you're terrified to bet bourbon. Who do you think is the betting favorite? Tennessee, Kentucky, Sweet 16.
Tennessee.
By how much?
Oh, by 6.
4.5.
See, they messed up.
And then I would assume Alabama would be a huge favorite over Baylor, and obviously Florida will be a favorite no matter who they play. But and one other thing, Shane, I thought this was pretty interesting. They have released updated odds to win the entire tournament.
Yeah.
Duke, currently the favorite, 2.3 to 1. So just
they
a little.
Played nobody.
Yeah, that's true. A little over 2 to 1 to win it all. But very, very, very close behind them, Shane. Florida, 3.2 to 1 to win it all. So right there with Duke. Auburn's got the third best odds with 5 to 1. Houston, 5.5 to 1 is the fourth best odds. Tennessee, 17 to 1. Texas Tech, 21 to 1. And Alabama, 23 to 1. If you had to put, don't bet the mortgage. If you had to put 20 bucks on one of these to do it all, who would you bet on?
I'd probably go with them Tennessee Vols, you know.
But he's not confident that they're beating Kentucky.
No, I'm not. I hate this Duke thing. I mean, it's almost, I wish they would just dial it back a little bit. They're just too in love. And so I'm just getting them knocked off. But honestly, Mike, I picked Florida in the bracket. I think this is a team that can get hot at any moment against any team. Even when they play bad, they find a way to win. This is a tough team. Same thing with Auburn. As long as there's no injuries, that's another one that could be a favorite, as long as they stay healthy and grounded, if you will.
Mm-hmm. So basically anybody but Duke, and you're good with?
Anybody but Duke. Yeah, anybody but Duke and Kentucky, obviously.
All right, so hey, that's all really I had to discuss on the basketball. You got anything else before we shift gears?
No, man. I love it. Absolutely love it, brother. And
any of the commercials that you're hating? I mean, everybody was ragging on the pig. I mean, that was the most annoying commercial in the world. But
not the commercials, not so much. I think just Charles Barkley. I need to see more of him. You know, I don't watch NBA, so it's been really nice seeing him. And dude's hilarious, obviously. Big Auburn fan. But anybody but Bama, right? So anybody but Bama football. I think he's a fan of. So that's my big takeaway. It's just, it's been enjoyable. But like you said, there hasn't been that moment yet when you're just saying, this is why they call it March Madness. Yeah. There's been some close moments. So I feel like, and then who knows, it may happen tonight with the Ole Miss game. It may happen in the Sweet 16, something like that. But I'm expecting at some point there'd be one or two games that are going to come down similar to that UConn Florida, just a damn fist fight, you know?
How do we not have a Paul Feinbaum, Charles Barkley show? You know what I mean? Like you'd think they would have come up with that already, but even if it was just once a week, them talking SEC sports, you know what?
30 minutes, you know, not too long, 30 minute, maybe even a TikTok video or something, just the two of them getting together and talking a little bit. I could get behind some of that.
I mean, sign me up for it, no doubt.
Hell, let's get Chuck on this show.
You know what? What other thing you could sign me up for, Shane?
What's that? Oh, Bank Shot. Bank is open. That's the commercial I don't like. And I just mentioned I like Charles Barkley, but that one is just too much. That's the guy that just wanted to make his own commercial. You know what I'm saying? He's like, I'm going to get Chuck. We're going to do this, but I'm going to make my own commercial here. That's what it kind of felt like. So that one, I'm not a fan of.
Yeah, well, I had the perfect transition, Shane. You stepped all over me. I'm signing up for Brunt Workwear, Shane. Head on over to bruntworkwear.com/SEC. That promo code SEC, Shane, over at bruntworkwear.com. It gets you $10 off your entire order. These are some outstanding working boots for working men unlike Shane and I. Even Shane and I, they gave us a pair each of these Brunt workwear boots. They're outstanding. I've been actually getting some work done, Shane, because you feel like a man just wearing them. You know what? You know what I'm saying?
I did it today, Mike. I went around the house, picked up some stuff, picked up some limbs because we got mowing coming up. Mm-hmm. Rolled up the water hose. That was a big deal. I'll send you the video later.
So if you want to be a man like Shane and I, check out bruntworkwear.com/SEC. That's the important part. Don't forget that SEC to get you $10 off over at Brunt Workwear. Waterproof, safety toe, soft toe, pull up, lace up, however you want them, Shane. They'll customize the work boots just for you. And Shane, speaking of just for you,
yeah,
I've been saving this topic just for you, buddy, because shout out Stuart Mandel over at The Athletic. He wrote an article, talking to a lot of people. We're all still trying to figure out what is going to happen if and when these SEC schools and the rest are allowed to spend 20 some odd million to pay players, right?
Right.
So we're changing NIL, sort of. We're letting the schools pay it. Mm-hmm. Because the people paying it said, I ain't paying this no more. And so now here's the theory. And this is something that is actively being discussed. Again, shout out Stuart Mandel, The Athletic, for covering this. Talked to a lot of coaches and assistants and things of that nature. And apparently what they're doing, they're trying to get a handle on the portal.
Yeah.
Coaches hate the portal, Shane. And I don't blame them. You know, this is a new thing. Even Lane Kiffin, who we call the Portal King, he says, I hate the portal. The portal's stupid. It's ruining the sports. But as long as it's there, we're going to utilize it. So it's funny how they want their cake. They're going to eat it too. But that's neither here nor there. So what they're trying to do to curb transfers potentially is now every single player, Shane, because now that there's going to be legal payments, they're... To my knowledge, I don't even know if they're signing scholarships anymore. I think essentially what they're doing is they're signing NIL agreements with the school, right? So each deal is unique. I don't know that they're all the same, but I don't know if you remember this. You remember a couple weeks ago, there was a guy that signed with Wisconsin. I think he was a corner, and he signed, and then a couple weeks later said, you know what, hell, I'm going to Miami.
Yeah.
And they said, well, hell, the portal's not even open. He said, well, I don't give a shit. I'm going to Miami. So Wisconsin said, well, you can't get in the portal. So they're currently the first ones kind of having a back and forth. So they signed this kid to one of these NIL deals, a multiple year NIL deal. And that's what they're talking about here with the future of college sports and NIL. Let's say that kid's a perfect example. I don't know what his deal was, but let's just make it easy. Let's say they gave him $100,000. For 3 years.
Yeah.
So that would be $300,000 he's owed for 3 years, right?
Yeah.
You're allowed to transfer, but what they want to do is say, okay, well, you signed a deal for $300,000 and you're not playing here. If you want to transfer, you got to pay us $300,000 because you signed for $300,000. It's the same as a coach buyout.
Yeah.
Where if a coach leaves, they generally got to pay to get out of their contract. So what is your initial thoughts? Now, again, this has not been finalized. They're not all 100% doing this, but this is one thing they are currently considering, making players pay whatever's left on their deal, or in some cases, everything they've been paid up to that point. You got to give it back to transfer. Yeah. What's your thoughts when you hear that?
I don't know if that's the answer, because The way I think about this, Mike, is there's tiers to this thing. And when you're looking at the portal, there's a couple of dudes that are in that top tier that I don't think this is going to matter. You know, if you're in one of those $300,000 contracts, this university wants you enough to find the money to buy out your contract. The problem is when they do that, it's going to take away from some of those tier three players that they also usually pick up in the portal, or tier two, or competitive depth, or something along those lines. So I feel like you're still going to have the splash headlines of kids transferring, but it's going to kind of make your school a little top heavy, even top heavy as it ever is. You know what I'm saying? I feel like later in the season is when this is going to really come to a head. So it won't be initial, but universities are going to find ways to pay those top tier guys, but they're going to miss out on some of these other ones, which is good, I think, for some of these smaller schools and maybe, you know, not the blue bloods, if you will.
Right. And some interesting comments. Shout out Liquid. He said, hand over the keys to the Lambo. Like Carson would have to give up his damn Lambo. That's a good one. Bucky said, so the new school would pay the buyout in theory.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're thinking. Like, I wouldn't imagine, let's say I'm just using these people as examples because they literally have done it. So it makes sense. But let's say Carson Beck had $2 million coming to him at Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted to go Miami for $4 million or whatever. Yeah. So in theory, probably what would happen was Miami would have to pay Georgia, because I wouldn't imagine Carson Beck's, that's probably what he's saying to Miami. You pay the buyout, I'll come. So yes. But maybe that prevents schools like Miami from saying, well, good Lord, we're ready to pay Carson $4 million. Are we really, in theory, ready to pay him $6 million, because we're going to have to buy him out of the Georgia deal? So again, they're hoping that this would curb transfers, because at some point, I would think, I mean, I could be wrong, but I would think these schools will say, man, enough is enough. We can't afford buyout. Now we're playing player buyouts. Like this is getting out of hand. So that is a theory.
I don't know, man. Also,
it's fair to say, you know, not unless you're an elite quarterback, you're probably not getting a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
Most of these guys are probably already on 1-year deals, but I think the coaches are starting to want them to have multi-year deals so that maybe they don't pull a Judkins and go to Ohio State. You know, it is money year and win a national championship. So
yeah,
this is all very, very confusing. But
do you avoid it if a coach leaves? You know what I'm saying? Is it? Like, is there any exit clause there if your coach gets fired and then all of a sudden you're like, wait, you know, I was locked in for 2 years with him, not new guys. So,
yeah,
I really do think that this comes down to just the portal window itself. We got to have one of them. And I wouldn't be opposed, brother. Absolutely. I know people probably don't want to hear this because it's not as fun as sometimes the portal can be, but let them sit out a year. You know, let them sit out like they used to for a full season, and then they could play. I think that would reduce some of these hoppers, if you will.
Yeah, I actually think
our graduate transfers can play immediately. Let them do that. That encourages them to finish their school.
Right. I would be fine with one transfer.
Yeah.
But if you do a second,
then you sit out.
I think you got to sit out.
Hey, I like that.
But I do like your idea. I think graduate. I think that's the best way to do it, because you get it enforces the education, but I don't know how many of these guys are going for education, and I can't say I blame him. If I'm Bryce Underwood or whatever his name was, and Michigan gives me $12 million, I don't know how much I'm studying for school, because hell, I'm making $12 million to be good at football, you know?
The only downside, too, with this concept is you got to get everybody to buy in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, because if you've got, let's say, Bama that puts you in a 2-year contract, or you got Florida says, we'll just pay you no contract. You know what I'm saying? It's like now you're using it as a competitive edge to get this kid down there. So I feel like it's a slippery slope, you know, and it's short of us having a governing body to say, hey, everybody's got to do this to participate.
Then
I don't think it won't happen.
Well, I think that's why the SEC and the Big Ten, I know we like to troll the Big Ten and the Big Ten likes to troll us, but they are kind of arms in arms in this whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're trying to set standardized rules.
Yeah.
That say we will follow if you follow, you know what I mean? So, because you're right, 100%. And the SEC were the absolute worst. You know, we changed state laws to help the football programs because we care so much about it. So, yes, if a school, a program, a coach can blur the lines, they're going to do it. So
yeah.
I think it's on Greg Sankey. It's on Tony Petitti, who's the Big Ten commissioner. It's on them to really enforce this, that whatever we agree to, we're all doing it, or none of us are doing it. I think that's the only way it'll work.
Yeah, I agree. You can't let one kid do it, not the other. You know what I'm saying? That's just bad parenting. So you've got to have a united front, and it helps those two, but I would like to see the other conferences buy in as well, so that there's just everybody has a standard, and the standards are important. And I mean, we want rules, but we want to make college football great. And I think it's awesome. It's just got these little pesky things that keep popping up. And, you know, if you have a united front and then the same system, then we can build off of it. It doesn't have to stay in cement. We don't have to say this is the way forever. Times change, you know, but for the time being, let's get on the same page. Let's make it fair for everyone.
Mm-hmm. And I thought this was pretty hilarious from that athletic story, Shane. Yeah. Here's a comment from a Big 12 GM, unnamed, but going back to charging kids to transfer out,
mm-hmm.
he said, "The first team that sues a kid, I'd love to see their next recruiting class." So yeah, again, you have this in your back pocket. If you're a school, star player transfers out and you say, "Well, give us back our money." You could do it. But buddy.
Which coach, and you're not saying it that they'll ever do it, but which coach in the SEC would be like at the top of your list of suing the kids?
Come on, Dan. I mean, he's gonna sue everybody. You know what?
9 times out of 10, you're right, Mike.
Anyone else you were thinking?
No. Now, honestly, I was thinking him or maybe Coach Stoops. You know, he's just tired, pissed off. He's gonna make it stand. You know, so. But how many kids are really, you know, that he's gonna have to worry about?
And then, what other interesting talking point brought up in that article?
Yeah.
One reason a coach said we probably won't go this way, in his opinion, you got to remember. Now, this is the cold reality. You sign players, they don't always pan out, right?
Yeah.
And you see basically all these schools now, they have a lot of players hit the portal, and you're thinking, why in the world would that guy hit the portal? He's not even done anything here. And then they never sign anywhere. A lot of times, that's the school, SEC school, saying, you're not going to really play here. I think it's best for you to get in the portal, right?
Right.
So if you sign a kid to a 3-year deal and then you try to cut his ass after a year or two, what happens to that? You know, if you hit the transfer portal, you got to pay it back when they're making him hit the transfer portal. You know what I mean? So that is another, just an added layer that some coaches are saying, well, we really want to keep the ability to cut players, because that's what it really is. And if we're signing them to multi-year deals, we can't cut them. So
want their cake and eat it too, you know?
yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I don't know if that happens, but I do think that, you know, the NIL was these guys want return on their money. And if you've putting a lot of money into a school or into a kid, you want to get it. You want to get it back. And you want to, whether it be a championship or, you know, success, or, you know, some of these kids are just laying groundwork for the next class to come in, and you're building something special at that university. So yeah, it's an investment. And if these kids get that money and then go off, I mean, these guys don't get millions of dollars by that type of bets. You know what I'm saying? It was just a matter of time before the contracts hit it in the conference here.
Yeah, I think you're right, Shane, but not a contract, but you know, a deal that the Cousins should take advantage.
What deal is that, Mike?
Public Rec. Come on. Check out publicrec.com. Put in that promo code SEC, Shane, for 20% off your full order over at Public Rec. And that 20%, that'll save you a lot of money, Shane, because Public Rec, it's not the cheapest stuff, but it is the highest quality you can get. They sent me over a pair of pants and a long sleeve t-shirt. It's still a little chilly out there, Shane. If you need some pants, if you need a shirt, hit up publicrec.com. Most importantly, don't forget that promo code SEC for 20% off your full order. You can get customizable pants, the waist size you want, the length you want. They got all kinds of different colors. You pick every little aspect you want over at publicrec.com. Promo code SEC, they'll hook you up 20% off cannot recommend Public Rec more. You know what?
Nice. I like that segue there.
Hey, one other thing I wanted to hit you up. I just forgot about this. Because it was, you know, starting the tournament, it's kind of hard to keep track of everything else and football and all that. But our guy, Shane, was on Feinbaum, Mr. Eli Drinkwitz of the Missouri Tigers, Shane. He said, this is going to be, what, I'm going to get his direct quote. This is the most talented football team that I've had since we've been here at the University of Missouri. Buddy. And keep in mind, they just won 21 games the last 2 years, and they got the schedule to win them all. Again, I'm not saying they're going to win them all, but is this Drake being honest? Do you think, or is this just coach speak? What's your thoughts on all this?
Well, I don't know, Mike. I really don't know. You try to think, what does he have to lose? But you got to remember, there's a lot of heavy hitters that left this year that are entering right into the draft, and it may be a little bit of a sales pitch here to the fan base to say, hey man, best is yet to come top situation, especially when season tickets are about to come out. You got to pay for them. So I think that may be part of it here. It's just, you know, selling the dream. But then again, you know, you don't want to put something out there and come back and bite you. You know, if you go 7-5 or 6-6
with this schedule.
I'm saying, like, Drink's in no jeopardy of losing his job here or anything, but he loses a shit ton of momentum if he comes out here and says this is the most talented team, and then, you know, drops two of the first four games or something along those lines, because they're going to use that soundbite over and over again. So yeah, again, slippery slope, but I do like the confidence. I do like hearing this from my coach. You know, we talk so much, Mike, about coaches not speaking their mind, and I hate that. I love a coach that comes out here and tells you the truth. Maybe he's telling you the freaking truth, and you better buckle up, because with that schedule, if this is the best football team that Drink's had up there, then by God, they're probably going to the playoffs.
Liquid says, he sounds like Billy Napier. I could be completely wrong, right?
Yeah.
But I wonder, because he also mentioned that, you know, last year's team, I think a little bit, you know, they were reading their press clippings. Mm-hmm. I think that was kind of evident at times. And you're exactly right. What's the narrative outside of Columbia? Man, they lost a lot on the offensive side of the football. Yeah. Again, they are, here we go. They are 15th in returning production on the offensive side of the football. Now they went in the transfer portal to shore a lot of this up, but I think most people are looking at it and say, no Brady Cook, no Luther Bird, no Theo Weiss, both running backs, couple offensive linemen. No way you could duplicate this. So I wonder if Drink is, you know, he's reading the room and saying we're being written off.
Yeah.
And maybe we're not as good, but last year's team, even though they won 10 games, maybe they shouldn't have been hearing how great they were, because they were, and they failed to live up to it, perhaps you could say. But this team, maybe not as good. Maybe they need to hear this on a national platform that, damn, he thinks we're better than them. You know, that's what they need to hear to kind of overachieve, if that makes sense. I mean, if you could underachieve 1 year, certainly you could turn around and overachieve the next. Don't you think?
Yeah. I think about some teams that's come through the SEC that has this narrative. You know, we thought about Mizzou last year, about how great that offense was. We said it about Ole Miss, Last Dance. This is the best team that Lane's ever had. You know, the year before, I mean, we were talking about Bama as, you know, this is it. This is revenge tour. This team's loaded. And it's like, You stack all this up, and then you get disappointed a little bit, but you wonder, if you know you're the best, then how hard are you working for it? That's the problem with a lot of these kids. And if you talk to NFL greats, you know, I remember there's a video floating around. If you find it, the Honey Badger comes in there and he's talking down there to the LSU players, and he's laying it out. Like, there's never a day off. You know, you take a day off, you're 2 days behind this guy. there's always a guy out there looking to take your job type situation. So I feel like to hit that next level, to be truly great, you've got to have it 24/7, even in the off season. And right now, going into the summer, man, this is where your championships are going to be made. It's not in fall. Fall's too late, brother. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes this is the coach telling the players, like, hey, if you want to make it to the next level, you want to be the greatest, then you've got to put in the time right now.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it may be harder than ever to judge some of these teams because people, Missouri fans, I'm sure, realize, but probably the rest don't. Missouri's done with spring, Shane.
Yeah.
We didn't get any spring game. So, again, people will say, well, spring game's insignificant, yada, yada, yada. I loved watching it and just getting a feel for the team.
Yeah.
We ain't getting that anymore with a lot of these teams. So it's going into the spring, going into the summer. It's a lot of guesswork.
Yeah.
Now maybe we would have just overreacted to, Bo throw a spiral or Sam Horn, launch a 60-yard touchdown. By God, he's going to win the Heisman. You know, maybe they don't want that. And certainly I don't think they do based on not televising it, but it makes it, I think, a little bit more of a mystery for guys like you and I.
Yeah. A spring game could be intriguing for a few teams. You know, it's mainly the ones that don't have returning quarterbacks.
Right.
Maybe even some teams that maybe have a new offensive coordinator. I feel like there could be a little mystique coming into that, but you know, I say that in week two, they got a playbook for you. You know what I'm saying? These kids know. They got cameras up there. They watching you, coach.
All right, buddy. Well, anything else before we jump off the line? That's all I got on my notes here.
No, man, it was good. I mean, it was good talking a little basketball, a little football with you here. Nice little blend here. We got one more week, and then tournament comes to an end. Then it's all college football. So I appreciate everybody hanging out and hitting that like button. That really helps us out. You know, a lot of folks don't take the time to hit that thumbs up. That really does help us out. And
we are less than 10 away, Shane, from 30,000 on YouTube.
Find 10 phones tonight, guys. Find 10 phones tonight. Hit the subscription. We got to get to 30. I appreciate everybody taking the time to hang out with us, though.
Yeah, and don't forget, if you're in the bracket challenge, any and all 57 of you, even if you got a koozie already, and maybe you want another one, maybe you want to give someone away, hit us up, thatsecpodcast@gmail.com. Let us know. Happy to send your beer koozie just for playing some NCAA bracket challenge with us. But hey, that's all I got, buddy. I appreciate you for joining us. I appreciate each and every one of you. We'll catch you on the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols.
Hey, buddy, this beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC Podcast loves the Pirate, and the Pirate loves that SEC Podcast. Hail State.